What's up, everybody? This is Neo Real, and this is Let's Please God. Today, we're on episode 44, and we're talking about something that's called the Works Gospel. We're in a series called Church Detox, which exposes things that we were taught that were incorrect, were half-true, or just flat-out lies. So, where in the Bible does it say good deeds get you into heaven? And if so, what is considered a good deed? If good deeds do indeed get you in, how many good deeds do you have to do? And then what percentage of good deeds versus bad deeds must there be for you to be accepted? So if you've ever been to church any length of time, you may have heard from your pastor that regular church attendance, active participation in the church, tithing, or just giving to the poor, or helping the needy in any kind of way, acts of kindness, serving in a soup kitchen, stuff like that. Just being a decent person and just doing good deeds here and there. You've heard it said that that makes you right with God, or those works will get you into heaven. I just want to show you in scripture that if you believe that, then you're incorrect, and that is not the way into heaven. That is not the way to please God. So, unfortunately, a lot of Americans, they believe that as long as I do some good works, that God will accept me. Because I did A, B, and C, God's going to let me into heaven. And they neglect the evil that they've done as well. So they tend to just kind of focus on their good. And like I asked those questions at the beginning, you know, what percentage of good deeds, how many good deeds must you do in percentage to the bad deeds? You know, is it 51%, you know, of good deeds, and that way you'll get in? Or yeah, there's nowhere in scripture that talks about how many good deeds or what good deeds get you into heaven at all. It doesn't. But we are going to go into scripture and show you what it does say about our good deeds and then how to get into heaven. So let's go to our first scripture. This is in Isaiah chapter 64, verses 6. And I'm reading from a New Living Translation. It says, "We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind." This is in the Old Testament. So even back then, they were being told that their righteous deeds were like filthy rags. And filthy rags, in this case, is referring to bloody menstrual pads, something that is supposed to be discarded. And so God is saying that our righteous deeds, like the good that we do, that's what it is to him. Okay, let's keep going here. And this is in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Once again, in New Living Translation, it says, "Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. He said, 2 men went into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: 'I thank you, God, that I am not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income.' But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, 'O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner.' I tell you, the sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So that sounds like a lot of church people today. They say that they tithe, they fast, and they're not like those worldly people out there. They're not adulterers and cheaters and sinners. But God, he exposed that. The tax collector, the man that was humble and said, "You know what? Be merciful to me, God. I'm a sinner." And so God is exposing that. Like, once again, your righteous deeds, it's not about that. There's something else that God is after. Your good deeds is the good deeds. That's it. But they're not going to get you there to heaven. But he did say that the man that was humble, he would get in. Here's another one. Matthew 23, verses 23 to 28. This is a New Living Translation again. It says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites? For you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and Pharisees, hypocrites? For you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. So once again, he's exposing something in the Pharisees, and this is applicable to us as well, for those who think that their righteous deeds make them right with God, and them just doing good, you know, going to church, tithing. Once again, he mentioned tithing again. We talked about tithing, you know, that is, we're not under that anymore, but at this point, they were still under it, and they thought they were righteous just because they gave a tenth of their income. And he said, on the outside, y'all looking real good. You're looking real righteous. And that's what's happening to a lot of so-called saints today, or children of God, or believers, or church people. Walking around, I'm a good person because I go to church every Sunday. I'm an active participant. I tithe. You know, I'm a pastor. I'm a deacon. You know, I'm a deaconess. You know, I'm working in tape ministry. I work in a youth ministry. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm all right with God, you know. And I just want to destroy that, because that's not what he's accepting. He's dealing with the heart, as you can see here. He's like, your outside's clean, but your inside's filthy. You know, so you can't just do a bunch of works on the outside that are good, but inside you're still wicked and filthy. And that's what God is exposing here. That's what men do today. They do something good on the outside, but the insides haven't changed. Good works don't save you. Good works don't please God. They just don't. Okay? God has a problem with the inner man. And that's why Jesus died. That's why the Holy Spirit was given. He's trying to work out the inside of a man. The heart of a man. His mind. So you can say, I'm a good person because I do this and that. God is looking at your soul. Okay, let me see how your soul look. And he's saying, nah, no you ain't. I don't care nothing about that. That doesn't mean anything to me when I can see your soul. And I can see how messed up it is. And how dirty it is. He said it's like a tomb. With impurities and bones and dead bodies and all this kind of stuff. He said it's like a cup. On the outside it's clean, but on the inside it's filthy. Who wants that? So we should be people seeking to be clean inside, to be righteous inside, to be transformed inside. And that's what we're going to continue to talk about here. Let's continue on in some other passages. This is in the King James Version here. This is in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we see here that we are saved by grace, the grace of God, through the faith, our faith. So the grace of God comes, our faith is applied to it. It's not ourselves that's saving us. This is a gift from God, okay? And he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So he's not allowing people to get in based off their own works. If that's the case, Jesus didn't need to die. He just say, I got in because I did right. You know, none of us are capable of that without the Holy Spirit and his power transforming our soul. So aside from Jesus Christ and his blood and the Holy Spirit, and we're not capable of getting in and being right with God. OK, so this is a gift coming from God, and he don't want people boasting. If you can boast and say, well, I got in heaven based off of what I could do, then what did Jesus need to die for? You know, and a lot of people are doing that today. They're saying, well, I'm going to get in based off of, I'm a pastor. I've been pastoring church for 15 years. You know, I'm surely I'm going to get in. I've been on a youth, you know, ministry for this amount of time. I've been on the choir. I've been doing this and that. That ain't what the scriptures teach. You're fooling yourself. You think you're all right with God. God is looking at your soul. Going back to those Pharisees, he mentioned some things about them. And one of them was, you care for the tithe and all that stuff, but you overlook the important aspects of the law. Justice, mercy, and faith. Justice is when, if you see him wrong in your church and you do something about it, you have it fixed. Faith is, once again, as we talked about before in the past, without faith it's impossible to please God. Having faith in God, which leads to obedience, these are internal things. This is part of your soul makeup. This is what God is looking at. And he's saying, look, you can do all that external stuff, but what's your heart about? So it's not by works, but it's by faith, you know, and grace, in the grace of God. Now, he says here in verse 10 of Ephesians that we were created in Christ Jesus to good works. So we are going to do good works. That's going to come out of being obedient to God and having faith in him. But that's not what's saving us. It's Christ that's saving us. It's grace that's saving us. It's the transformed life that is acceptable to God that says, okay, you can come into my kingdom because you've been transformed into the image of Christ. You look like my son. I'm accepting you based off of that. And that's only done through the Holy Spirit. So we got to get this. God is concerned about the internal man, the internal woman, how you look inside. It ain't about your good deeds on the outside. He'll use you. If you want to do good, he'll use you. But end of the day, that's not what it's about. It's about your internal soul, your transformation. Okay. Romans chapter 12, verses 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we have a call here to be transformed in the renewing of our mind. Okay, so that's where it starts. When your mind is transformed, your internal is transformed. And you understand that God is more concerned about the internal man, the soul, and how you think. And that comes out in your behavior. See, God's trying to change you from the inside to change your outer behavior. See, what folks are doing in the world and what people are doing in these churches is just changing the outside. They're not changing the inside. They're just going to walk around and do good stuff on the outside to make themselves. But God knows their heart. I know you wicked. I know you was lying. I know you doing this. I know you arrogant. I know you try to justify yourself. I know you try to be this on the outside, but I know how you are on the inside. I'm not going to accept you because of that. You can't fool God, and you can't fool some of these saints either. And I'm telling you, this is a warning. It ain't about what you're doing on the outside. God knows your heart, and he's trying to change that. And so it's better to work on the inside, to focus on what God is saying about you internally so that your works on the outside are authentic. Because a lot of what these people are doing is not even authentic. It's just done on it for the praise of men so they can say, oh, you're a good Christian. And it's for your own personal sake, so you can feel like you're a good Christian or a good saint or whatever you want to call yourself. But God is like, no, I mean, you ain't right with me. And so we got to get out of this. Don't listen to these pastors that's telling you, oh, you all right. You keep on coming to church and tithing, you'll be all right. As long as you keep participating in church and being active, and you're all right. No, that's not what Scripture is teaching here, all right? He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to jump down to Romans 8, 29. It says, for whom he did foreknew, he did also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So we're not supposed to be conformed to the image of the world, but to be conformed to the image of his son. So God, the Father, wants us to be conformed to the image of the son, Jesus Christ, that we might be firstborn among many brethren. And so some people say, yeah, okay, I'm going to just do what Jesus did. Jesus, he preached the gospel. He helped the poor. And so I'm just doing that. But we can see in Scripture that it's an internal change that expresses itself in outward behavior. Okay. Inside on out, not just outside. Okay. Just like them Pharisees cleaning the outside of the cup and not the inside. God is saying he wants to work on the inside on out. That's how you change. That's how you become acceptable to God. That's how you please God. That's how you get into heaven. This whole walk is a lot of time on earth. It's to be transformed into the image of Christ. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 say, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching them to say no to ungodliness and to live upright lives in this present age. That's what the grace is for, to teach you to say no to ungodliness, to discipline you, to change you from the inside on out. That's what it's about. Not just, I did this good deed over here, I did that, I'm all right with God. God is looking at the heart. He's trying to change the inside. That's what being right with God is about. Changing your mind, how you think, changing your inner your inner being so that it is expressed authentically instead of this fake stuff that a lot of people are doing today. Because I've seen people do so many good works and they go and stab somebody in the back. They do so many good works and then they lying on the side and they're arrogant. They look down on other people and they mistreat other people. But they kind of get away with it because everybody on the front end sees, oh, they're doing all these good works. They can't be that bad. No, they're wicked. But they're using their good works to get praise from men and to get it by people. But God sees their heart and the true saints see their heart. They discern that person is wicked and not of God. And so we can't be like that. But a lot of them have been told that as long as you do good deeds, you'll be accepted by God. And not even the wicked, they still believe that, like, they know they've done so much wicked, but they can say, you know what, I'm going to open up an orphanage. I'm going to open up a soup kitchen. I'm going to create a trust fund for inner city youth who can't, you know, have money for college. And they think that these, all the wicked they've done in their past to get the riches and the wealth that they have now, they can now set up some good deed to somehow overwrite that and to make themselves acceptable to God. Yet, what they haven't done was go to God, confess their sins, repent, let him work on the inside and clean the inside. No, they want to do it their way. They want to just do a good deed or some good deeds towards the end of their life so they can look like they're good in front of people. But God ain't being fooled by that. And the saints are not being fooled by that. So I want to help people to understand that this is the correct way to God. Let him transform your inner heart, clean you inside. And that starts with confession and repentance and allowing the word of God to seep in your soul and change you and transform your mind, okay? Here's another scripture. This is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 25. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." I'm going to stop right there before I finish. That's what people are doing while doing good works on the front end. On the back end, they're reviling. They're envy. That's an internal thing. Can't nobody see you doing that. You can be expressed, but you can walk around and hide that from people. But you envy. God is saying, I'm not with that. If you continue this, you're going to hell. He's saying you will not inherit the kingdom of God for envy. Well, you know, envy, you know, ain't hurt nobody. It's just, I'm kind of mad at so-and-so for having this. And, you know, and God is like, I want to work out your heart. I want to change your soul. I don't want that in you. You see? Witchcraft, which is manipulating people. Okay? Idolatry. Some people don't have to see you. You can hide that. If you go to some other entity other than God for anything, and you say that is your salvation. Say, for instance, some people, you know, they worship food. So when they get down, they go to food instead of God. That's idolatry. God is saying, look, hey, that's not what I want for you. Hatred. You can hide that. Emulation, sedition, strife. People got beef with people undercover, but don't tell them. And they just mad. I'm going to get that person to, you know, wait a minute, man. God is like, I want to work in your heart and change you. But this is what's happening in churches. This is happening among some of the saints. We got this going on internally, but externally we doing these good works and thinking we all right with God. God is like, your soul's messed up. I want to change that. That's what this whole ministry is about, changing the inside of the man. I get too many calls or emails, rather, from people who are concerned with Old Testament laws. They want to make sure they're pleasing God. I want to make sure my beard is the right length. I want to make sure that I'm wearing fringes. I want to make sure that you know, my hair is wrapped correctly. They got little stuff they've been pulled out of scripture that's external that they feel like I got to really be up on that. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll help you with understanding those scriptures, but you need to be also concerned about your soul internally. Jesus came and started talking about the soul. This is why the Pharisees didn't like Jesus, because they wanted an external salvation. They wanted to be free from the Romans. They wanted another savior to come and free them from their captivity. And Jesus came talking about, I'm going to free you from the wickedness in your soul. That's why I come to save you. He come with this message about you being unclean inside and needing to be transformed, and that there's a spiritual kingdom. And then, of course, a physical kingdom coming later on. But being a part of God's kingdom through righteousness internally. They're like, well, I don't want to hear that. We want to be saved from the physical Roman rule. We don't like that. We ain't trying to change inside. I don't want to deal with my wicked soul. I don't care nothing about that. I don't want to deal with my pride and arrogance. I just want to be free from this and, you know, and live on top of the world like we did in the days of Solomon, you know. And they didn't understand that. Even though the scriptures already told him in advance, that's what he was coming to do. Poured out his spirit upon mankind. Put the law in their heart internally instead of externally, where they got something they got to just follow on the outside. They ain't want to hear that. And a lot of people don't want to hear that today. I remember when in my second church, when I began to teach this stuff, they would get upset. They was like, I don't want to hear this. It's just the Bible, y'all. I don't want to hear that, Neil. I don't want to hear that. We're not changing. I don't want to change internally. I don't want to give up. I just want to go to church and feel good about myself and feel like I'm right with God. God is not with that. And so it was a wake-up call to some people, and they was offended by it. And so many will be offended by this message, and they don't want to hear this. But this is the truth, and God says, you know, I'll accept you if you allow me to transform your soul. And that's what's important to him. You know, he can see you. The good works don't matter to him. You know, they only are accredited to you if they're done in faith through the Holy Spirit. So it's not to say that, oh, everything you've done is in vain. No, if you've done it through the Holy Spirit and through faith, then he said you were created for good works, so you'll get credit for that. So yeah, if you were, you know, you did it authentically through the Holy Spirit and in faith, then yeah, you'll get credit for that. You know, he said you did this, you did that, but it's based off the internal of who he changed you into be, okay? It's not about the external stuff. A lot of people you see that did so much good works, they'll be rejected when they stand before God. And he said, you know, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? And he said, I mean, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. Why? I got a problem with your sin internally. I don't care about your external works. Yeah, you did all those good things, but you were working iniquity too. I don't like you sinning. I don't like that what you were doing in your heart. You know, he said, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. So how do we begin to allow God to work in our souls? Okay, well, it starts with the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say in verse 22 of Galatians 5, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we're born again, let us walk in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit allows us to be transformed into the image of Christ. That's how it works. Every day we wake up and say, I'm not going to do what my flesh wants to do. I'm going to do what the Lord is saying in his scriptures and get the power from the Holy Spirit to do it. And from there, we're able to please the Lord. And you'll notice he'll be working on your mindset. He'll be working on all this internal stuff people can't even see. That's what's important to him. So that's all I got for today. We're all dirty inside. And that's the whole time allotted is to be cleaned up inside. So I just want to get that clear to people. Look, this time allotted is to change you internally. You can't just start going to church and just doing good stuff and think that you're fine. And you can just continue doing that for the rest of your life. God wants to work in your insides. You know, and that's what this ministry is about. So till next time, walk in the Spirit. If you're not born again, read the gospel, accept it, and confess your sins and repent. Be transformed by it, and you'll be blessed.